professional installation always included. That's KohlerServicesWI.com.
This is former Wisconsin linebacker Chris Orr. You're listening to 100.5 ESPN, WTLX, Monona, Madison, a Good Karma Brands radio station on Wisconsin.
Broadcasting live from the Everlake Solar Studio, this is your Metro Kiev Madison Sports Center.
Good morning, Madison and streamers everywhere. I'm Jesse Nelson, Sports Center, brought to you by Jim, Matt, and Molly. Rutledge and Hamilton, welcome Molly Brown to the afternoon drive on ESPN Madison. Jim, Matt, and Molly, brand new show debuts today at 4 o'clock right here on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. And maybe, if they're lucky, Jim, Matt, and Molly will have some news to talk about on the Jordan Love contract extension front. 1 week from today, training camp kicks off in Titletown for the Green Bay Packers, which leads many to speculate that this will be the week Jordan Love agrees to a contract extension in Green Bay. Or will it be? Jason Wilde speculating yesterday on Sunday Karma. What happens if the teams and the quarterback don't reach an agreement by next Monday?
I'm really curious to see if it doesn't happen this week. Do the Packers just sort of throw their hands up in the air and say, all right, we're not going to ruin this team's vibe over a couple of million dollars a year. We're going to just get this deal done. I think that is the most interesting potential scenario.
Catch the full conversation with Jason Wilde yesterday on Sunday Karma on Wisconsin On Demand. More conversation about the Packers quarterback coming up right now. Wilde and Tausch, 100.5 ESPN.
Metro Kia of Madison, Madison's trusted Kia dealer. Stop into Metro Kia on the east side of Madison or MetroKiaOfMadison.com.
Wilde and Tausch begins now. And it begins, if you don't have ESPN Plus, then you weren't able to read this. And maybe you don't want to if you're a Packers fan. And again, I don't think that we are guilty, Tausch, of overestimating what Jordan Love is and can be. He is not what he can be yet. He's got a lot of growth in front of him.
We hope.
No, I mean, he does.
Listen, man, he was pretty dang good. Now, do we hope he gets better and do we think he will? Yes. But
even if the numbers don't indicate, like, he can be a better quarterback and not put together a stretch of 19 touchdowns and one interception or whatever it was over
Agreed.
The last seven games.
Totally agree.
So, I get it. He has more to prove. But Jeremy Fowler has been doing this series. He does it every year. He talks to a bunch of NFL executives.
Can we get him to bump this up 1 week? Like, I'd like to have 2 weeks of this because it's interesting. He gets anonymous, which, again, hey, welcome to the world. That's how this goes. Nobody wants to put their name on it. But you get all this insight from Jeremy's calls and talks with the general managers and head coaches and around the league, and it gives you a view of how people view these players.
Okay.
In fairness, the Packers are starting early, so in most years this would feel like we'd have 2 weeks to review it.
In fairness, I'd like it right after the 4th of July, because as I've told you many times, that's when NFL players start looking at their offseason. I know A-Rod had said that after Tahoe, the Tahoe Open is for him.
Sure. Yep.
For most players that don't get invited to Tahoe, 4th of July weekend, you're done with the cookouts and all that stuff, and it's my mind's on football.
Yep. You've told us that many times. All right. So just so you understand the voting process here, because it's not Jeremy Fowler's opinion.
Oh, but it's his article.
It is his article.
Josh.
Voters give us their 10 best players at each position. Then we compile the results and rank candidates based on the number of top 10 votes, composite average, dozens of interviews with research and film study help from ESPN NFL analyst Matt Bowen, who is a friend of our program and a former teammate and draft classmate of Tausch. All right. 80 voters are involved in the process, Tausch. So I think it's important to point this out because the information I'm about to give is surprising to me. But it's not like they don't have a seemingly exhaustive process for getting the best answers from people who know.
Correct.
So your top 10 quarterbacks, according to NFL executives and the process that Jeremy Fowler spearheads for ESPN.com. Number 10, Dak Prescott. Number 9, Jared Goff.
Okay, don't have a problem with this so far.
Number 8, Aaron Rodgers.
I understand it.
Number 7, C.J. Stroud. Highest ranking from one balloter, according to Jeremy Fowler, was 2nd.
That's Bob McNair.
Lowest ranking out of the top 10.
Yeah.
Number 6, Justin Herbert. Number 5, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Number 4, Lamar Jackson.
No problem with that.
Number 3, Josh Allen.
Definitely no problem with that.
Number 2, Joe Burrow. He's a top 10 quarterback.
Like Joe that. Burrow is good. But this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, man. Eddie Lacy was a great running back.
As Jeremy Fowler writes, Burrow hasn't exactly hurt his standing in the Pantheon since last year's voting. He's still considered one of the game's very best and won a close race for number two. But his growing injury file has planted a seed of doubt.
There is nobody in this league, and I love Joe Burrow. He deserves a ton of credit. Beat Patrick Mahomes. He's getting a lot of love because he beat Mahomes in Kansas City. Deserving. But there is nobody in their right mind that would take Joe Burrow over Josh Allen as we sit here today after last season. Nobody.
Because of the time he missed.
Because he's been dinged up. He's missed two seasons. And Josh Allen, it is what it is. I know Josh Allen turns the ball over too much. I get it. But he's out there. Like, come on now.
And obviously, number one, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, nobody will argue that. And listen, I get the fact that Jordan Love has played one season. So has C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, by the way, Joe Burrow started 10 games last year and started 16 games the previous 2 years. So I don't know. He hasn't missed two seasons.
No, he missed a season. He blew his knee out for one of the years.
2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. I think he blew out his knee late in the year and came back, I think.
All right. Well, listen, how you want to shake this out? Joe Burrow, is he injury prone? Is he not?
Jordan Love's not on the list, most importantly.
Yeah, I think there can be a reasonable debate on how much belief you have in Jordan Love, but what you can't debate is what we saw at the end of last season. And what we saw at the end of last season was a quarterback that played at the highest level of anybody, including Patrick Mahomes. Now, do I want to see more of it? Absolutely. But this wasn't one game. This was a great stretch of football that was as good as anything we've seen. But that also means there was a part of the early season that he didn't.
Didn't play well against the Giants.
He did not. So there's a process to go, but I think most teams would value, and I'm guessing Jordan Love was 11. I'm not going to sit here and cry about it because, as I told you last week, like if you're Matt LaFleur, you're eating this up. This is yummy porridge. More. I want to hear more about how my quarterback's not in the top 10. I want to hear that our receivers aren't good. Oh, Kenny Clark's not in the top 10. Oh, this, oh, that. You know what we're going to do? We're just going to win. We're going to turn it around. We'll just do it our way. And we don't care about all the other stuff because I want my guys with an edge. I want my guys with a chip. I don't want them fat and happy, sailing, sitting back and just chilling and having other people grinding. I want them out grinding. I want them out working. And these lists are only going to help continue that process.
The honorable mentions were Brock Purdy and then Jordan Love. So I would indicate to me he was 12th. than Jalen Hurts. One AFC executive on Jordan Love. I think it's real. His arm talent and confidence and a good system around him. He'll turn the ball over some because he's so confident. He'll miss here and there, but you can live with that. Short sample size, so he's got to do it again, but he will.
But he's not a top 10 quarterback.
He's ahead of Trevor Lawrence. He's ahead of Kirk Cousins. He's ahead of Tua. He's ahead of Jalen Hurts, at least based on this balloting. Behind Brock Purdy, though.
Yeah, Brock Purdy is somebody that I think is kind of in that same boat, but size and talent matter.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love has both. And that is a differentiator. So it's not always fair, but that is something that scouts obviously take a lot of credence in. And Jordan Love has both of those. So it's going to be very interesting how this all plays out when we look at this in November and December, because right now it's that time of the year. Everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah.
But opinions change. And the way that you look at quarterbacks now, how do you look at them in October when they're either not healthy or they're not playing at a high level? Josh Allen could drop. Like, all of these things are in play, but you can base your information off of what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw in November, December, and January has me giddy. Giddy.
Yeah.
About what this team can do. And you know who else is giddy?
Matt LaFleur.
And who else?
Brian Gutekunst.
And who else?
And Jordan Love.
And who else?
Apparently they like green and gold.
Mark Murphy, Russ Ball, Ed Policy, everybody up there.
Not getting the NFC North.
And that's why they're going to be writing him one large, fat check, because they're all giddy about
the only reason, Tausch, I appreciate your giddiness. Kind of like you're giddy about starting your sailing career. But the only reason this list resonates with me a little bit more is because it's not just some Yahoo like me giving his opinion.
Oh, I agree.
Like, the fact that there's 80 people involved in Jeremy Fowler's process, the fact that our buddy Matt Bowen helps him with the film breakdown, the fact that he is surveying NFC and AFC executives and personnel, and the fact that he lands outside of the top 10, I don't think I can just poo-poo that away as, well, he just hasn't done it for long enough. Like, it didn't stop them from putting C.J. Stroud on the list.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I guess what I'm asking, and I've asked this question at other times when other things have come up during this offseason, but this list was the one that made me do the windy. Like, why? The fact that he's outside the top 10, doesn't that at least give you some pause given the people who were voting and who were involved in the process?
No, not for
me. Why not?
Because I watch. I understand these guys have worked hard to be in their positions. A lot of them don't. A lot of them are going to be out of jobs. A lot of them aren't very good at their jobs. So, and they're not spending as much time watching just the G&G. They're watching their own people. They have a broad concept of what's going on, and I'm not trying to diminish it. But you know, a lot of guys are wrong, man. So,
yeah, but how much of these other quarterbacks are you watching? In fairness,
enough.
Like, but not as much. You haven't watched a lot of Joe Burrow. You thought he'd miss two seasons.
He's missed a bunch.
He missed 7 games last year. He missed 2 games over the previous 2 years.
Joe Burrow has been good. Joe Burrow is in my top 5. Is
he's
he
in
the
your
top
five.
2?
In my
All
five.
I'm saying is it does matter. And I don't have every answer when it comes to whom is whom. But I do know this. Who would I want on my team leading my group? Somebody that's going to be there, somebody that has all the skills, and somebody that is growing, growing, growing. Jordan Love fits that mm-hmm. bill. Could there be a Packer bias? Absolutely. I'm not arguing that, but it's not to the bias of the degree of putting 10 other guys ahead of him. And asking Sean McVay, you really want Matthew Stafford at 38 over Jordan Love? No, you don't. You know that. And I would bet if you ask Kyle Shanahan, in fairness, does he want a shorter, less talented quarterback or Jordan Love? I think we know the answer to that.
Yeah. No, you're, again, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm saying it gives me pause.
And it should. And that's fine. It does not give me pause. And that's okay. Like, it doesn't need to be like, oh my gosh, well, you need to do this. No, you can. And I can. You do you. I do me. Jesse does Jesse.
And
fans
we all
do fans.
Just get along.
And the bottom line is, none of it matters, man. Like, they got to go play.
It's
they
got
to go play. Hmm? And I'll take my guy. You take your guy. We'll go play. We'll go play up in Sun Prairie on a Thursday. We'll just randomly put our squads together.
Only,
we'll see how it all shakes out.
Only if
out.
Everybody can show up and Jesse's available to umpire. If you do end up playing those games, will all the coaches be gifted a 12-pack of Coors Light as a thank you for them schlepping all the way to Sun Prairie?
Yeah, and we'll make sure that they're in those big 16-ounce beautiful silver bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
They're going to be just nice and cold. It's been a hot weekend. It's going to have those mountains are going to be just vibrantly blue, like vibrant blue. That's when you know Coors Light is chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Matter of fact, I got a new updated photo to send you if we can ever figure out how to get back on Twitter. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
Jesse, I always thought John Arias was John Arias. And then I heard you and him yesterday on Sunday Karma. John Arias?
Arias.
Arias?
John Arias.
Arias?
Just ask him.
The voice of Badger Volleyball joins us next is Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar. These days I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever. Oh, I need more.
ESPN Wisconsin is now the home for the Wisconsin volleyball radio coverage. And the voice you will hear calling those games across ESPN Wisconsin.
Just wait, so he finished up last night. Which team did he play for again? Was he Columbia?
Columbia, I
Columbia.
Believe. Arias. John Arias.
Name kept popping up all over the place.
Yeah, I drifted in and out of consciousness. I heard it as well. John, good morning. How are you? Great job last night.
Pretty tired
in Copa America.
Yeah, I had to be subbed out in overtime at the end there. But yeah, there's a couple of audiences on the Columbia roster. And what's funny, guys, if you watched probably the Fox coverage, right? It was John Arias is the way the announcers were pronouncing his name. J-H-O-N, by the way, is how he spells John. And if you watched Univision, it was John Arias. And so, like, it was really funny to see or to listen. Actually, I kept it on Univision, and I just kept hearing my name making plays. It's like the only time I'll ever be able to hear my name making plays, so I was pretty pumped.
You were a difference maker, a field tilter last night. How should we accurately pronounce your name? Because you say it kind of fast there, mm-hmm. which, yeah. Again, I'd like the phonetic spelling so I can properly do it for you on a regular basis.
Sure. So my dad is from, just a little background, my dad is from Colombia, right? So
did he play on the soccer team, the national soccer team?
He did not play on the national soccer team. No, okay. He did not. But he's a huge, huge fan of soccer. So, but anyway, so the way always growing up, obviously with my dad speaking Spanish, was Arias. And so it's that soft R, I guess, to kind of explain it to you. It's a soft R in Spanish. So it sounds kind of like a D or a T. So you can just, you know. Adias is the kind of like how you might spell it phonetically, I guess. Adias.
So John, John, are you fluent? Like, are you, if could you tutor? Like, where are you at with Spanish?
Yeah, so that's a great question because it is something I wish I was better at or good at. But I grew up. So here's another little story for you. I grew up, southern Minnesota, speaking Spanglish basically in elementary school, like as a kindergartner. And apparently, the story goes from my parents. You know, the teacher is like, listen, half the time we don't know what your kid's saying in class. So could he just stick to English? And that was the deal. And I lost the Spanish. So the answer is no, Tausch. I can't. And it's very isn't it disappointing?
Frustrating. I was thinking like what Sophia is able to do all that. Mm-hmm. And fairness, I was also, my son really is learning Spanish. We went to Peru. He wants to learn more. He's begging me to get a tutor. And I was thinking, boy, this will be really convenient, John. We could have you double shift. And now it doesn't seem like that plan is going to come to fruition for me.
No hablo español.
That's a shot. Yeah.
On the bright side, you've got your soft R, and Tausch loves his soft J.
Oh, yamas.
That he loves to bring up.
Yamas.
So you guys have that coming. Yeah. So the start of the season is not that far away. They tip it off. I don't know if that's the right term, but they begin the season on August 27th against Louisville. Chucky Hepburn suiting up. Are you ready for the season to start? Do they have the same style of training camp? As I mentioned to you yesterday, obviously, Sid and I were at her camps for a few days with Sarah Franklin and the crew there. But when do they start in earnest getting ready for the season?
I don't have the exact date in front of me, but it's obviously approaching rapidly, and they'll get started, like you said, August 27th against Louisville. I try to approach the summer as just an escape. And so like every time I hear these like X amount of days to kick off, it's basically X amount of days to first serve, which, by the way, that's what you were looking for, Jason. First
serve. Come on, Wildy.
First dig.
Who's the first dig and the first kill. So August 27th against Louisville. I just know this. I know the start of the season is going to be starting with a bang, right? Like this season is underway with a bang. When you get Louisville, Texas, and Stanford in your first three matches of the season, we're going to get some questions answered at least early on as to what type of team this is because of the level of competition that they're going to be facing. We're going to see a freshman setter and what she can do against the elite competition of the college volleyball world right away. And I love that test right away because not only does it set up, obviously, the quarterback, quote unquote, quarterback of your team at setter. And we're talking about Charlie Fearbringer. I believe I'm saying her name correctly. I'll get it right by August.
Soft
27.
R.
God, I was going to say it's a soft J.
What I really like is that we're going to be able to see how she quarterbacks this team basically and any adjustments that need to be made, because then after that, you know, that stretch, and it's not just those three teams. I mean, obviously there are other teams they have to contend with in the non-conference, but then you'll get into Big Ten play and then we'll see how they can develop as a team. And I just really like the first three matches in particular as kind of just like a litmus test to see how good they are right at the start of the season. But they'll get underway with camp here. Coming up here in August, I believe, and the season will be here, like you said, before we know it.
Yeah, John, the Fiserv matches, and you mentioned that Texas is going to be down there. Can you just explain? Fieldhouse obviously is a monster atmosphere. I think it's the best. What do you view, and how important is it? You get down in that Milwaukee crew. I guess just how cool was that, and what are you expecting when you're talking about the national champs coming in?
As far as the Fiserv match, I like it. Obviously, the Fieldhouse is always a sellout in Madison, so they're always packing that with just over 7,000 fans. I like the Fiserv match because what it's going to do, these matches are also going to be broadcast on television on Fox. So not only is it, you know, number one, great competition. Number two, you set it up in a venue where Badger fans can flock to and almost treat it like a little mini vacation before, you know, school starts for the families and everything like that. But then you get it on national television and hopefully you draw a big crowd. So I think a lot of this is, you know, obviously important for the season, like I talked about, but I think it's important for the sport as well to have that jam-packed Fiserv Forum on television, on national television, and just to show, you know, the public viewing that, hey, guess what? In this area of the country, at least, volleyball is a big deal and you should be paying attention to it. So I think it serves a number of purposes, but I'm excited for the Fiserv stuff. I would love to go, you know, you don't want to overdo it, but this is now 2 years in a row, but I think moving to bigger venues, I would love to alternate between Kohl Center, between, Fiserv Forum. And I'll tell you what, I'm still on this bandwagon and maybe it's losing steam, but after Nebraska played at their football stadium, I said, you know what? It's okay. We don't have to beat records every time we play a volleyball match, but I would love to see something at Lambeau Field. I would love to just gather people outside and inside to see what we could do one of these years and watch a volleyball match.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Were there conversations about that maybe happening?
I know there was, there was some, the rumor mill had started, and I'm sure some people had some nice conversations. I wasn't a part of, I don't know the results of those. Obviously we don't have a match scheduled yet, but I believe, there were some people maybe, discussing what that might be like.
I believe, Kelly Sheffield actually mentioned that when he was on with us a couple weeks ago.
That's why I brought it up.
I wasn't there. So there were, he did say there were some conversations.
Would you guys be down for that? Would you like that? Or do you think that that's played
out? Heck yeah. No. We went to the Kohl Center match and it, the result wasn't great, but I mean, how cool is it to get that? And what you keep hearing, and this is what Kelly has been pushing for years, is you just keep putting it out there, and more people are going to come in. And more people.
Right.
Does Nebraska push after we set the record? Because obviously, although, as Kelly put it, with the Wisconsin-Nebraska rivalry, and Jesse, I know you have that audio ready for us. That's a joke, Jesse. But you get that 19,000, and then Nebraska's like, well, blank that. We're going to go to 90,000. You want everybody to keep pushing ahead to get it bigger and bigger. And that was what I think, getting it on Fox and having it after NFL games. Kelly's kind of the vision and one of the big leaders in getting the volleyball program more exposure. And man, I think that's the beauty of it.
Isn't it cool how, friendly rivalry, competition has spurred the sport forward? Because not only did it put, like you said, Nebraska said, screw this, we'll do 90. And it pushed the, that's a great look on television when you see the crowd there and everything that was around for that. And it coincided with the viewership a couple months later with, Caitlin Clark and women's basketball. And I just think it's all meshed together, and the way the competition between the two schools pushed them to be better, to showcase the sport more. It did it at the perfect time that women's sports is getting a spotlight, and that competition that you were talking about, Tausch, between hey, we'll do the Kohl Center, we'll beat your record. Then no, we'll beat your record. I think that is only adding to the growth of the game. So although they have the, the record, that's fine. It's hard to find a venue to fit that many people inside of it, but that's great. But I think overall for the sport and the growth of the game, it's even better.
John, a couple more things before you do your weather forecast in front of the green screen. One...
It's supposed to storm today again.
I would love to put a virtual background on. I just don't know how.
Obviously, we will be listening to you on the call across ESPN Wisconsin, but you mentioned the Fiserv Forum tournament that they're having. The TV component of that, we know what the energy's like in the building, right? I know what it's like having covered back in the day volleyball. It's even more intensified now inside the UW Fieldhouse. But how important is it? Because, look, every time I turn on ESPN now, it feels like there's a Caitlin Clark game on. Like, there are other teams that Sydney likes. We'd like to see more of the New York Liberty and her favorite player, Sabrina Ionescu. But the bottom line is, it's Caitlin Clark mania. And frankly, Sarah Franklin is in that type level as a volleyball player. She is the best player in the country. So how much will that TV exposure, you think, help grow the game? Because it's not on FS1. It's not on FS2. It's on Fox.
Yeah. It's vital in growing the game. It is vital. The opportunities that this sport got specifically last year, now moving into the start of this season with Wisconsin and Texas and Stanford and Minnesota is going to be there at Fiserv Forum as well. And having those games showcased, it's vital to continue to push the sport in front of the public, in front of a larger audience that maybe, a cable network may have. To push it to network TV is so huge. So to have that crowd that you're talking about, and I'm sure Badger fans are going to be able to fill it up September 1st, when you tune in across the country and you see, Texas Longhorns, Wisconsin Badgers, full crowd. Like, what are they filling, a basketball arena? What's going on here? To those who may not be exposed to the sport, I think it's fantastic. And it's the only way to grow the sport. If you don't get on network television, you kind of reach a plateau as far as you can go growing the game and getting more attention for the game. So I think this is so important. The crowd's important. The type of game is important. Real quick, when they played Minnesota on Fox following Packers Vikings last year, a couple of things I wish would be different. I wish there would be more promotion during the game, even if it's 7 seconds as a liner coming back from a commercial, whatever it is. Number one, I wish that was more. But the game itself, the volleyball game, once all the attention went to volleyball, it was a quick match, you know? And so like the excitement level has to be there. It has to be like this perfect mesh of things to really help propel the sport. Not saying that that didn't help propel the sport, but I think it's vital to the growth, Jason.
Well, all right. So Tausch and Will Pauling and a few other members of the Wisconsin football team seemed to have an idea to help grow the game. I don't know if you were listening that day, but a Wisconsin Badgers.
My favorite part of this, Jason. So we're at Squat Fest, John, and Anna was with us. She, you know, is she interning or part time with us?
She's an intern with ESPN Madison.
She's an intern with ESPN Madison. So she is there with our social media queen, Maddie, and they're doing interviews with the and just a fun little banter between Will and Anna. And Will says something about spiking the ball, and Anna immediately is like, "You guys have no chance. You don't even know what it's called." So the banter, and I thought, you know, everybody's doing these charity softball games. Yeah. And you know the football guys think they're great athletes, that they could go out and try to compete against that. But when Luke Fickell joined us, he's like, "No, I'm coaching. If they're doing that, I'm not coaching the football team. I'm going to coach the volleyball." I think it would be a great idea from a charitable standpoint to get there. There she is. Anna said kills and all this other stuff. So, yes, I think it'd be you talk about growing the game. I think that could be a real fun way to have everybody have a good time.
I think the charity aspect of that is fantastic, and I agree. I think it would be really fun to showcase, and it doesn't even need to be football. I know maybe the basketball players want to get involved. Anyway, something to build momentum, talking points, and to grow the game and raise money for charity. I love it. But those football players
city.
Are
but.
But if this was a real match, like, and not for charity and messing
how
around,
many
they
points
would, get
would they possibly? Yeah, what would that you set the number at that the football team could get point wise in a 25-point match? Six?
That might be a little bit high, because I believe the only way they're going to score is on hitting errors from Wisconsin.
Wow.
Right? There have been matches where Wisconsin has a handful of errors in the entire match against college teams that have practiced and wanted to play volleyball. This is against a bunch of guys who have never touched a volleyball.
Correct.
So they don't even need to bring their best to keep it in bounds. I would say maybe 2.5, 3.5 points. Ooh. And that's just based on an error, a net error. Somehow they get a point.
So you spot them 20. And so football team starts with 20. You don't think they could get to that?
Okay, that would be more fun.
Pressure 20 zip, beyond.
See what happens. 20
is a lot.
It is a lot.
15, I don't think anybody's blinking. They're going.
Right, yeah.
20 easy. Would be.
So they would need to win 5 points.
Yeah,
5 points wins it.
And they could do that. I put the over-under probably at 3.5. Now that I think about it a little bit more, because you talked about missed serves.
Yep.
But even then, you can take a little bit off your serve if you're Wisconsin.
Are you delivering your best jump serve if you're serving at Will Pauling? Probably not. You probably don't need to, right?
Where's Will catching off?
Well, he was the one you were with. It wasn't
there's
just
no
Malusi.
Doubt he pushed 100%. It's on him, but yes.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point, Jason. I'll keep it at 3.5, because you don't even have to bring your A game to serve it to someone. You just have to say, "Can you pass this ball?" And the answer probably more times than not is no, I cannot.
And they don't even know who they're going to play. I said, Riley Mullman's 6'8". Like, you probably want him blocking. And they're like, "No, he won't even be on the team." I'm like, "Well, who are you putting out there? Anna, how tall is Anna?"
6'9".
Yeah. This microphone. What are we even doing? So they don't even know who they're going to play. Yeah, I hope this happens. I think this will be fun.
Wisconsin's got 6'9 and 6'7 in the middle to contend with, so they better bring some height.
Dude, 20-0, start the game. That would be awesome.
I think we found the format.
We did. We're gonna have to tweak it to make it competitive, because I saw some of the Badgers demonstrating serves at camp, and the first thought that went through my head is, what percentage of these could I even? It's like watching Tausch's new tennis favorite, Alcatraz, serve. Mm-hmm. Like, how many of these am I even getting an arm on, or in the tennis case, my racket on? Because those jump serves are moving. I don't know if Will Pauling is an outstanding wide receiver. He could probably catch those serves. I don't question that. His ability to put those, clasp those hands together and return them, not quite as confident. So, all right, we'll keep working on that to grow the game and raise some money for charity. John, Jesse, I think, is going to try and weasel in his way to be on the call with you when we play that charitable match.
Like where he wants
if
to shadow
sick,
you.
John, or,
if you're not feeling good, feeling Jesse's good. Ready.
Let me know.
Okay, we'll get you warmed up.
Stayed up too late watching a relative
you better
play
watch it. What if
for
John
Columbia?
Starts pushing to do bowling?
I
then
won't.
Things we, could get contentious.
I think we have a gentleman's agreement. He keeps volleyball, I keep bowling, we call it a day.
How magnanimous of John. All right, John, this has been really fun. We're glad we got to catch up with you. Once the season starts, I'm sure we'll be talking to you more. Get to your weather forecast. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, we got a low pressure system moving in, guys, so watch out for time. See ya.
That is John Arias, the voice of Wisconsin volleyball, which you will hear all their games across ESPN Wisconsin. Jesse, I know that we have teased you about booking guests, about setting up events like the 300, keep bowling until you get a 300 event that has not occurred yet.
Still working on it.
So would you say that you want to be involved in the football versus volleyball charity match, or do you feel
so
like
when do you think, like realistically, this has to be in May, right? Like after spring ball?
I think it should be, yes.
I think it
should
be a May match on campus.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right, we'll get this done.
So you've got a lot of lead time. Jesse, great job getting John as a guest, by the way. About time you booked a guest.
I was sitting right next to him yesterday, so it was pretty easy. Yeah. You're welcome.
Right in your wheelhouse. All right. Taush, you want to tell us quick about Quick Trip?
I do. I stopped this morning for a cup of mud. I brought some cinnamon rolls in, which I believe are on sale right now for the team here. And in the summer, there's nothing quite like a stop at Quick Trip. While I'm on the road, you get an ice cold. Yesterday was so hot. We finished up. Grab yourself an ice cold Coke, and this summer it just got a whole lot cooler with Quick Trip and Coca-Cola. Play the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game daily this summer in your Quick Rewards app. You can enter into the weekly winner drawing where Quick Trip is giving away a total of $500,000 this summer. 10 weekly winners get $25,000 each, and one final week winner gets $250,000. 500 grand given away just for playing the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game on the Quick Rewards app. You can even earn extra chances to win by using your Quick Rewards every time you purchase Coke, Monster Energy, Powerade, Body Armor, Smart Water, or Core Power Elite products. Download the Quick Rewards app today. See quicktrip.com/sweepstakes for full details.
Whoa, Nelly will be shorter than it's ever been, which is a win for all of us. That's next. It's Wildy and Taush.
This is Wildy and Taush, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Time now for an abbreviated Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Taush.
So I had Friday's show off to attend a wedding in Waterloo, Wisconsin. Mm. It was a beautiful wedding.
Napoleon country.
Beautiful wedding. One of the big talking points at the wedding, one of the groups of people that we met was in from Seattle, and one of them was experiencing Quick Trip for the very first time.
Nice.
And it was talked up, very excited to go to Quick Trip for the first time. We were fielding recommendations. What is the first food item you would recommend to someone going to a Quick Trip for the very first time?
Well, you know where I'm at.
Smoothie.
You've told chicken. Us a lot of different
things. No, but I'm a chicken tenders guy.
Hey, he's dressed in a chicken suit.
Yeah.
And pound that chicken.
Pound that chicken.
I gotta be honest, I had erased that from my memory bank, and now it's back. Thanks.
Jason, are you in agreement?
No, I'm I love the smoothie machine. Not the for real, but the real smoothie machine. Mm-hmm. They got them side by side.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's my big pick. Can't beat it.
The cheesy breadsticks, contingency for that. Also, Dunkers and Glazers, which then led into the
Dunkers
side conversation.
Dunkers and Glazers
of,
and cinnamon rolls and my.
Exactly.
Oh, my. Yes.
Whoa,
I'm gonna tell you this. That Quick Rewards app, that's a fun deal. You look, you're like, oh, just wait. There's so much stuff going on.
There's a lot of stuff.
It is a lot of visits. Got a lot of visits I've racked up.
And you get extra visits if you do certain things, and then that gets you discounts on such and such. A
couple of freebies. Yeah.
And then you can win $500K like I just told you. Like, what a deal.
What has a better chance of catching on? Because it was very hot at the wedding. A suit with short sleeves for the jacket or a suit with shorts
suit with
for
shorts.
The pants?
100% suit with shorts. It's already kicked. I mean, I've been doing it for years. It's caught on a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
What?
I don't believe
Pushy.
You. Show me what? One picture of you in a suit with shorts.
I have plenty. Matter of fact,
show me one.
I'll take a look and I'll try to get back to you. Having some iCloud issues with my phone.
Oh no.
No,
of course you are.
Well, you're
I'm
having
sure
Twitter
you've got
problems
it under
with our show. Pound that chicken.
Okay. We'll wrap things up next. That is a really good Photoshop, by the way.
That's
if you're
Greg.
Watching on the video screen, this is one of Greg's best.
Our guy Greg.
Like, it looks like Tausch is really wearing the chicken suit. It's Wilde and Tausch.
What's up, Madison? It's head coach Kelly Sheffield.
Wisconsin proved they were the number one team in the country tonight.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Wisconsin Badger Volleyball, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
We've used up all our time. You could have just put the picture of Tausch in the blue shirt. No one would have even noticed that he was gone.
He just left a minute. Look, he's spying on me. Look at this guy.
Look at this guy. That's it for us today. Thanks for coming along for the ride. And I've never seen this before.
No, we had another segment.
I thought that was it. Hey, good show today, guys.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.